오늘 우리에게 주시는 하나님의 말씀은 사도행전 17장 30절에서 31절입니다. 신약성경 218쪽입니다. 제가 봉독하겠습니다. 알지 못하던 시대에는 하나님이 강과하셨거니와 이제는 어디든지 사람에게 다 명하사 회개하라 하셨으니 이는 정하신 사람으로 하여금 천하를 공의로 심판할 날을 작정하시고 이에 그를 죽은 자 가운데서 다시 살리신 것으로 모든 사람에게 믿을 만한 증거를 주셨음이니라 하니라. 아멘.
This is the order of the governor. Condemn this man to the sentence of death on the cross. Oh, here comes the king of the Jews. Oh, worship. Worship this king. You faker. You fake savior. You imposter. I'm taking his clothes. Clothes of a criminal dying on the cross is supposed to be good luck. Look, Jesus, here are those people who wanted to nail you to the cross. Have a good look. Take a look. You said to kill Jesus. You killed him. Now let's go. Nail him to the cross. Oh, the king of the Jews. Let's go to paradise. Yes, this is your king. The king that you've been waiting for, Jesus. So Jesus is being nailed to the cross just like you wanted. Just remember that it is you. You are the ones who are nailing Jesus to the cross in your hearts. Jesus, the King of Jews. Take a good look. And so you are the Son of God. If you are, why don't you come down? Hey, how about some miracles, huh? Father. Father. Why? Why have you forsaken me? It is finished. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. What parents in this world would voluntarily give up their children to lynching the violent men? If a child comes home after being beaten up, wouldn't they rather try to take revenge on the perpetrators? There is no parent who would let a child walk into a situation where he or she would get beaten up and end up dying if they knew what would happen. They would do everything to hide the child from the thugs or get him or her away from the situation. This is the heart of the parent and also human nature. But God was not like parents of human beings. Jesus, the only Son of God, foresaw his death on the cross before his arrest and prayed desperately in the middle of the night at the hills of Gethsemane until blood seeped into his sweat. But the sky, which was covered in darkness, not one word of answer came. God, the Father, kept silence to the prayer of His beloved and only Son. Even when Jesus, innocent of any crime, received a sentence of death from Pilate, a governor of the Roman Empire, and was whipped by Roman soldiers who are like thugs, even when he was dragged away to Golgotha and was nailed to the cross, God kept his silence and did not reach out his hands to save his only Son, who was being trampled under merciless violence. He was silent. To such a father, Jesus, at last, who was being nailed to the cross, cried out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Now, is God a kind of an idol made by human designs and skills, made of metal or stone, which cannot see although it has eyes, cannot hear although it has ears, and cannot speak although it has mouth? Certainly not. God saw his beloved Son dying on the cross and clearly saw his breathing fading away, heard all of the bloody cries of his only Son to the end, and he could have answered, "Son, I am here," if he had wished. But if so, then why did God consistently keep his silence to his only Son? To this question, Paul tells us the answer through today's text. Now Paul is standing on top of Areopagus, where if you look up, you can see the temples of Acropolis, including the Parthenon. And from below, you can see all kinds of temples around Agora. And to the philosophers of Athens who took him there, he began to preach by mentioning the altar dedicated to an unknown God. He started to explain who God was by saying that he would tell them who this God, whom the people of Athens did not know about but worshipped, was. In short, that God who created all things and therefore is the master of all things is not shut in some architecture made merely by human hands. That unlike the idols who are made by humans and fill their needs with the offerings that human beings make to them, God has self-sufficiency. And contrary to needing anything, he gives life and breath and everything that is needed by men. That God, who made the human race to spring from Adam, one person, is sovereign over all things in the universe and human history. That God is not far away, but is always with men. So anyone who tries to sense and discover his presence can confirm his existence at all places. That by God who came to men first and who are with them, human beings have become precious children of God, and therefore they must live as befitting of children of God. And Paul's sermon concludes as follows in today's text, the first part of verse 30. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance. In the past is connected to its meaning to unknown God mentioned in verse 23. In the age when people did not know that God created the world and sent his only Son to the world, God overlooked idol worships and continued to reveal himself through nature. Now, hereby saying overlooked, it does not mean that God did not see the sin of worshiping idols, but although he saw it, he did not count the sin against them because it was due to them not knowing who God is. The latter part of verse 30. But now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Now, much has changed from the past. God has sent Jesus, his only Son, to this earth. And Jesus paid for the sins of men by becoming an offering on the cross. And this gospel of salvation was being spread all over the world, that everyone can receive salvation through Jesus Christ. The God of Trinity is no longer the unknown God. The unknown God, through Jesus, revealed himself to the world. And with that, the past in which was in ignorance was over. And so now God commands everyone at all places to repent. The Greek verb metanoia, which means repentance, has the meaning of changing one's thoughts, changing one's attitudes, to turn around. It means that from now on one must turn around from the foolish life of serving the idol of the self and believe and serve Triune God who has created all things and is sovereign over human history. In the Revised Korean Bible, it says, he has commanded repentance. And the phrase is translated in past tense, as if God had given this command once in the past. But in original Greek, the verb parangelo, which means to command, is recorded in present tense. God always commands in present tense to all people everywhere to repent, not only 2,000 years ago at the time of Paul. This means that there can't be anyone who is exempt from repentance in which one must turn toward Triune God. Now, what is the reason that all persons must repent before Triune God? Let's take a look at the first part of verse 31. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. Now, this appointed man means Jesus. God will judge all people by his righteousness by making his only Son, Jesus Christ, as the judge. If the God of righteousness were to judge people according to the standard of his righteousness, is there anyone who can survive his judgment at the dock? Everyone would disappear as condemned persons at the dock of God. And it was not the case that God carried out his righteous judgment knowing full well this tragic ending. This is the latter part of verse 31. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. God, in order to make his only Son pay the penalty of death that men were bound to pay for their sins in their place, he made Jesus, his only Son, become the sacrifice on the cross, an offering for human beings, a Lamb of God. Therefore, Jesus, who died on the cross as an offering, taking the sins of men upon himself, was innocent. And therefore, God declared his righteousness to all the world. Now, Jesus, who died on the cross for us, was innocent, and God did not simply abandon Jesus on the cross. If he had done so, he could never be a righteous God. But because he is righteous, he made Jesus, who was innocent, live again on the third day of his death for eternity in the midst of death. And by doing so, once again, he reconfirmed for all peoples of this world that he is the God of righteousness. And by enabling all men to receive forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross as an offering, but lived again, and to receive eternal salvation of becoming his children, he created proof that his righteousness and his love can never be separated. Therefore, it was Paul's conclusion that people should abandon the life of worshiping idols and repent before a triune God, because only those who turn towards triune God can be exempted from his judgment, the terrifying judgment of righteousness, and be clothed with his love in making them his children in Jesus Christ. Paul, as he concluded his sermon, called Jesus as the man he has appointed. He did this to make a connection between the word from one man which appears in the earlier verse. Now, last Sunday I said that the Greek word exhanos, which has been translated of one bloodline in Korean, means from one man. This was to emphasize that in the same way that all human beings became sinners due to the crime of one man, Adam, all human beings can receive salvation from one man, newly established by God, Jesus Christ.
구원받을 수 있음을 강조하기 위함이었습니다. 우리를 위해 십자가의 제물이 되신 그 예수님만 하나님께서 구원자인 동시에 심판주로
And only Jesus Christ, to whom God appointed as a Savior and at the same time a judge.
하나님께서
is the one man whom Paul has referred to in his sermon. That he was the reason why God let his beloved son suffer death, voluntarily let his son suffer death on the appalling cross. And it was for the same reason that he kept his silence when his only son prayed until blood seeped through his sweat on the hills of Gethsemane. When his only son was whipped by Roman soldiers until his flesh fell away. When he cried out, Why have you abandoned me? The reason that God kept his silence consistently was to make his beloved only son, the Lamb of God, in order to save us, the sinners, from the fetters of sin and death. And so Jesus could not greet his death in peace while being clothed in silk clothes and comfortably lying down on his bed. In order to fully pay for all of the sins that men have committed with every part of their bodies, his head to be bloodied by being pierced with thorns. The flesh of his chest and his back had to be torn. His hands and feet had to be nailed, and his side had to be pierced to shed the last drop of blood and water, and he had to die. He had to become an offering in the complete sense. Today is the sixth Sunday of the Lent, on which we meditate upon and commemorate the passion of Christ and his death on the cross. We call today as a Sunday of the Holy Week because Jesus died 2,000 years ago on the Friday of this week by being nailed to the cross. Then what does it mean for us to meditate upon and commemorate the suffering of Jesus who died for us? Would it be to inflict the same kind of terrible physical pain that Jesus suffered on the cross on our bodies? To meditate and commemorate the suffering of Jesus does not mean that. Paul testifies as follows in Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Jesus did not receive punishment on the cross because of his sins. He suffered on the cross in order to receive the punishment we were to receive. Therefore, to meditate upon and commemorate the passions of Jesus means, through the cross of Jesus, to confirm my passions and greed that have become nailed to the cross with Jesus. The sins, all kinds of terrible sins that have been nailed to the cross along with Jesus. And it is to nail the remainings of the passions and desires that are still within us on the cross. In one word, it is to have the old self die completely in Jesus. This is what it means to meditate upon and commemorating the sufferings of Jesus. It is only such person who can live a life of repentance in which he turns towards God through Jesus Christ completely. And so, this is the reason why Paul testifies as follows in Romans chapter 6, verses 6 to 7. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Isn't it so? How can there be a new birth without the process of dying to the old self in me, in Jesus Christ? This Lent began on Wednesday, February 13th, a month and 10 days ago. On that day, I attended a noon prayer session at Benedict Convent at Busan, Gwanghwanli, together with Sister Yehin. After the prayer session, which lasted for 30 minutes, and during that 30 minutes, the prayers and the praise of the sisters were very disciplined, very quiet. But within me, those sounds break forth louder than thunder. After the prayer session was over, I had lunch at the convent at Mother Superior's office and was about to leave after a chat with her. Sister Yehin. The sister gave me her book of poetry, Prayer of Four Seasons. Among the poems in her book, a bookmark was placed on the page where a poem for Lent began. A poem titled Prayer of Good Friday. The Good Friday is a day that Jesus died on the cross. And I will read the final part of the poem to you. Lord of love, who became stronger than death by drinking the bitter cup of death, let me not dare boast I love without coming to resemble you. With those who despaired deeper because they loved you, let me today become a dot of thick darkness trapped in the stone too. Become a spot of brilliant darkness that went to sleep with you, who is light and will awake together with you. Now, Sister Lee uses death and darkness as words that means the same. It is only when the darkness of the night passes that the darkness of light will come. Only those who know the darkness know the value of light. The person who deeply experienced darkness long for the light more deeply. It is only when the old self dies in Jesus Christ that a new person can be born again. The person who knows death knows the value of life. The person who knows the depth of death loves the new life that is in Jesus Christ on the cross. Only truly the person who has despaired deeply about him or herself can, without hesitation, nail the selfish passions and greed in Jesus Christ and do a clear turn towards Jesus of resurrection. This is the message that our Lord, who suffered for us, gives to us on this Holy Week Sunday. Let us pray. On the cross, the Lord became nailed to pay for my sins. Help me to see all kinds of sins of mine, which became nailed with the Lord. Allow me to nail the selfish passions and greed that still has grip on my heart on the cross, together with Jesus. May I despair completely of myself, which has foolishly gnawed of my life in vain by being captivated by passions and desires. In doing so, may I begin a life of repentance, in which I do a complete turn toward the Lord on the cross. By my old self dying completely in the Lord, who died on the cross, may I be born anew as a new creature in the Lord. By knowing death deeply, may I come to know the value of life even more. By going through the pain and sufferings of darkness, may I long for the light all the more. And so may this holy week in which we meditate upon and commemorate the passions of Jesus become a dot of brilliant darkness which goes to sleep with the Lord, who is the light, and who wakes again with the Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.